In this episode, you're going to get practical ways to stay grounded under pressure, build more trust with your team, and sustain your leadership without burning out.
Welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, a podcast helping human-centered leaders master communication to accelerate your team's performance, reduce stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. I'm your host, David Dye, president of Let's Grow Leaders.
Hey, welcome to the show. In this episode, you're going to get tools, specific tools you can use to become a more resilient leader who can preserve your long-term energy and well-being, be emotionally steady, and build trust, transparency, influence with your team, and be able to remain calm, present, and effective even in high-stakes situations. And here to help us do all of that is Molly Clare, founder of the Masterful Coach Collective, host of, and I love the name of this podcast, Life Mastered, the podcast. That might be my favorite podcast name ever. And an expert in helping leaders with emotional resiliency. Molly Clare, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Well, as am I. And this topic of emotional resilience, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking of all of the times, you know, you talk a lot about emotional resilience is not grit, or it's more than just grit. And I definitely had a tendency, maybe sometimes still do, but especially in my earlier leadership days, of just push through. If I just go for it hard, if I just work hard. So let's just open the door. What are we talking about with emotional resiliency for leaders? And why is it maybe not the way I was handling it always the best way?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And there's so much to it. So we're going to, of course, try to bring this in and make it really practical and tangible and digestible in the conversation. But I mean, certainly, having grit is it's a piece of the puzzle when it comes to resiliency, right? But I think to your point, that's how we were all raised, right? Push through, power through, and resiliency meant sort of feeling almost bulletproof, right? Kind of buckling down. And what we're really talking about, and what I see as the most important way that we truly can have more resiliency, meaning able to stay calm and present when other people are having high emotions, right? And really able to, and in specifically with your audience, with the leaders listening here, right? How do we stay grounded no matter what dynamics and conflicts are going on around us? And so one of the key things in the way I speak about resiliency begins with actually acknowledging and understanding that we all do have emotions.
Imagine
and
that.
And making that okay. Because we talk a lot about emotions kind of as a problem to solve or something to be discarded, right? Like, don't be so emotional, right? We shouldn't be too emotional are things that we hear, especially I think in, you know, in leadership at times. And actually what we find is the way to have that resiliency is to be able to become more attuned to our own emotions, understand our emotional world, and support others in theirs. But this is a whole new world that a lot of people don't even know what to do with. It's very ambiguous.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about a conversation I had just 48 hours ago before the time we're recording. With a colleague who's in our industry here, and talking through some of the conversations having with CEOs and senior level leaders around different businesses, and the extent to which so many people are feeling this sense of burned out. And when you dive in a little bit deeper, like what's going on for so many people, there were two words that come up all the time. One of them is uncertainty. There's just so much change in our world right now and within businesses, and whether that's AI, whether that's tariffs, whether it's policy changes, regulatory, whatever it might be, economic uncertainty. And then the other was grind, was this sense of just continually plowing through, and I'm just so tired of the grind, I don't know what to do. So as we're coming to this conversation about resiliency, and just as you were talking, that conversation popped up. So I'm thinking we can tackle either, both. I'd love to, you know, when we dealing with uncertainty. You talked about, like, as people are firing up and getting a super maybe dysregulated emotion, how do we stay calm? We've got that aspect. We've got how to deal with this uncertainty we might be in. And then the grind. I mean, if we just tackle two of those buckets in any kind of practical way, I think that's going to be super helpful.
Yeah.
Where does that take you?
Yeah. So we can talk about both. So let's talk about burnout first, because I think that, you know, many of us have just been taught to work a little harder, push a little more, and really a way of asking too much of our bodies, asking too much of our capacity as human beings. And I think there was a time that we made that a very noble thing. It was, you know, something really to go after. And now I think we're realizing it doesn't work for us. And I think part of what has really pushed this more to the surface is because things like AI and technology and all of the input that is coming in all of the time, it is very dysregulating. I heard you use that word, right? It's very dysregulating. I mean, you think about, you know, back when we were kids, I didn't have a cell phone in my pocket. I didn't have access. I didn't have that going on all the time, right? I was outside. And so we really don't realize the degree to which all of the technology and all of the input pushes us past our limit. And so here's the thing, the pushing through and the overachieving patterns were never healthy for us. But this has just added another layer where too many people just can't handle it anymore. And we're just done with it.
Like using those old patterns that may have had some element of success in some area for a moment, continuing to use that pattern and that method, the system can't take it. People are breaking down. And as a leader, if you're trying to rely on that as your strategy, it's just not going to work long term. And because you're a human being. And so let's embrace that. Okay, let's talk about what to do. How do we start to do something different? What does that look like?
First, really, we need to understand the implications of continuing on this path. Because I think it's pretty hard for us to make significant changes unless we're really bought in. And I think also because if we have achieved a certain level of success with this, you know, running on empty, go, 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 it's very scary to put the brakes on that because we're afraid, right? We're afraid we're going to lose out on that success. We're going to move backwards, whatever it is. And so the first thing, I'll get, you know, really practical in a minute here, but the first thing is I think everyone listening to this needs to consider the pace at which you're running, the way you're pushing yourself. What is this going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now? And really, really, truly taking a minute to think about the effect this is having on your well-being, on your relationships, because that's what it comes down to, right? That's what life's all about. We want to have success because we want to have quality of life. And so really thinking about that can help us decide, do I want to make a change? Am I willing to commit to this, making a change? So that's one piece of the puzzle. And the other is really being willing to shift the way you view your ability to achieve success and create what you want. And some of the very, I'm just going to name some simple practical things that many people have heard before, but they matter. You've got to get enough sleep. If you think that sacrificing your sleep or staying up late to catch up on something is helping you, it's not. You have got to get sleep because sleep is going to help all of your cognitive functions. It is going to help you with emotional regulation. It is going to help you be better in every way, and it's going to be healthy for you in the long term. You've got to get enough sleep. You've got to move your body, right? You can walk. You can do anything at all. There are many ways you can exercise. Find something that helps you move and helps you decompress. things like, tapping. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a really powerful thing. You can look at the tappingsolution.com. You can, do that. Find it on Instagram. Even things like 5 minutes of meditation and breathing, these kind of things are going to help us reset the nervous system. They are going to help us really put a pause on the rush, on the frantic activity, and ultimately, they're going to give us more clarity so that the decisions we're making are allowing us to be more effective.
Mm. Some really practical tips there. And like you said, and maybe not everybody is familiar with all of them, but several there, you got to be familiar with sleep.
You know how to walk, right?
Right. You know how to walk, you know how to sleep, you know how to do some of those basic movements and things. And then, in breathing and meditation, certainly we've talked about in different elements on the show before. Tapping, I actually have experience with tapping and found it to be an incredibly powerful way to regulate your own nervous mm-hmm. system, and especially when it gets super fired up and things like that. So mm-hmm. encourage you to take advantage give us that website again, Molly, on the
Tapping Solution. So it's kind of one of the main ones. You can find it on Instagram, and they have, I believe there's an app as well, the Tapping Solution app. Mm. I think the cost for it is not that much. So it's a phenomenal resource. Yeah.
And it's, in all of these, what we're talking about here, these are ways to ultimately, we're talking about resetting your own nervous system, grounding yourself, and they don't take long. I mean, that's part of what we're talking about is you can do these and, pull away for 5 minutes mm-hmm. to kind of get yourself recentered so that you're bringing your best self to whatever situation you're dealing mm-hmm. with.
Yeah. And I think that one thing I'll say also, because, one of the things that I teach is how to create change that actually lasts, because it's easy to say, oh, I'm going to do this plan, and we go, gung-ho into it, and then we don't stick with it. So here's what I'll say. I've given a bunch of ideas, right? It's best to start with one. And to remember that anytime we're trying to create a new habit, it's going to take a little bit more intention, focus, energy while we're getting it started. Like you and I both have habits that we're in, right? There are some things that we do that at one point in time, it wasn't a habit. And we thought, oh, I need to get in the habit of that. And now it's automatic, right? I don't have to think twice. Like at night, I go brush my teeth and I get ready for bed. It's habitual. So I say that because whichever thing you're going to pick that you're going to work on, make it a focus. And just remember, it's going to take a little more energy and a little more effort at first, but then it becomes a habit and then it's easy. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. Otherwise, we get burned out and say it's too hard to make change.
And it's that activation energy. And part of it is, I think with that is limiting ourselves on the amount of change we try to do. So like you were saying, you've given many ideas, pick one.
Yeah.
And we're not done with ideas yet on the show today, but pick the one thing that you can try for 60 days, 90 days and really integrate it in. That's going to make way more difference than trying five things for a week and giving up.
Yeah. And, I just want to add one more thing to this, this piece around burnout. And that is that, keep in mind that if we're talking about being the most effective at what we do, the way that we have the most access to our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain where strategy, creativity, long-term planning, right? All of these great things that we want to be able to do, if we want to have the most access to that part of our brain, we need to be regulated. And more people than I think we realize are running on this. When we're running on that frantic energy, we think that we're being high achievers. We think that we're working hard, but we've been trained to operate at a high level under high levels of stress. But that high level is a facade, because actually, if we can regulate, we can bring the temperature down. We have more access to that prefrontal cortex. Not only are we going to feel better, but you're going to be more effective. And I say this again because we got to have that buy-in, or it's like, oh, well, yeah, it'd be nice to meditate, but I don't really have time to do that. But maybe you do.
or maybe you don't have time not to.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Part of this is not just about our own health and wellness, which of course is vital and important. And it's not just about our own satisfaction and enjoyment in our work. We're leaders. Everyone listening to this show, we're here because we want to be effective leaders. Part of this is also about what you are modeling and what you're passing on to your team, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And I think that, you know, when I think about leaders, I think about so many ways that we are leaders, right? We truly, each person is a leader in our own life. And as leaders, we're influencing, you know, people at work, for me, people in business, right? In our communities, everywhere. And I think we have such a powerful opportunity as people who rise up as leaders to really model well-being, to model well-being, to model good habits so that people see that it's possible.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's that, and the reality is your team is going to follow what you're doing way before.
Right.
You can say all day long, you know what, you need to be life balance, you need to take care of yourself, you can say all those things, but if they're watching you run at that, you know, high gear all the time and being reactive and being distracted and not taking the time to recenter and ground and all that, that's what you're going to reproduce. That's what your team is going to be doing unless
that's
they're wise enough to get away from it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So much. It's, you know, the lessons we learn early in life, you know, it's show me what you're doing. It's not what you're saying. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm, where to go next is, you know, we were talking about, a little bit earlier about as people are in these high emotion situations and high stakes situations, things like, so we've talked about regulating ourselves and dealing with some of that. I'm curious what you're seeing in your coaching clients and the leaders that you're working with around and business owners and entrepreneurs and all the people you work with, what you're seeing in terms of how they're dealing with uncertainty and just dealing with the flux of the world the way it is right now. There's a lot going on, and it's almost an emotional tax that we're all paying on some level right now. How are you seeing people deal with that effectively? How are you coaching, and what are some of your recommendations there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think first, it is important to acknowledge that having a sense of uncertainty is pretty hard and scary for us as human beings. It's very normal that it feels scary. And it's very normal that we feel some activation, right? And that is a very real thing many people are experiencing. And I think that in a practical sense, what I would say to everyone here who is experiencing this, who is fearing uncertainty, one of the things you can do to help ground yourself a little bit is to think about all of the things that you are certain of and that you can be certain in. Because it really can just help to, it's like it gives your brain something to latch on to.
And there is far more that is certain if we can take time to catalog it and think about it. But
yes,
if we don't do that, it just all feels like it's this swirling mess.
That's right. And the funny thing is that a lot of the things, our perception of certainty, it truly is a perception, right? So it's kind of like, this is kind of a off topic example, but an easy way to see this. There was a while where I was working within a community of women who had gone through divorce. So that was what they were facing, right? And many of them would say, well, my life is so uncertain, I don't know how to handle it, before I knew exactly what my life was going to be, which is an interesting thing because they thought they knew, right? They thought they knew, they had the perception, but actually they were totally wrong.
Right.
And so I bring that up because we can see that so clearly in that situation, but truly from a, you know, leadership perspective, professionally, the sense of certainty that we have, it is always in a way an illusion, right? Nothing is ever certain. And yet, this is all the more reason why when we think about the things we can be certain of, the things we can be certain of are the things that are within us anyway, right? Things like, I know I'm a person who always figures things out. right? That's something for me when as a business owner, when, you know, a part of my business has been going well, and then wait a minute, things have changed and now it's not. Well, I can't have certainty in whatever was going well because I don't have control over that. But what I do have certainty in is that characteristic, that trait in me where I always figure things out. So
the things that aren't changing often are internal. And so
exactly.
Really capitalize on those. That's a great practice. You know, when we're talking about these practices, and let's say we've got some resilience and so forth, I find for myself, I'll speak for myself here, and I think some leaders can relate. There are those first signs or leading indicators that your emotional resilience might be eroding, and maybe isn't where it is. What are some of the things that we should be on the lookout for that are before our team has to? I'll never forget Kevin, one of my team members many, many years ago, when I was in a chief operating officer role. And direct report, Kevin comes up to me one day and he says, "David, you're not acting like David anymore. What's going on?" Like, and what a precious gift to have from a colleague and a direct report at that, who had the courage to address. Clearly, my emotional resilience was waning in some unhealthy ways. What are some of the things we can look for before Kevin has to come and say something to us?
Well, we'll just all be grateful for the Kevins of the world, right? That will help us to know. You know, I'm such a believer in having good practices of self-connection and self-awareness and having those regular check-ins, you know. And again, there are so many ways that we can do this, but I don't, as a leader, I think it's important for everyone to think about, like, how often am I checking in with myself to see how I'm feeling about any given area of my life, you know? And this is why I am such a believer in coaches and having people to support leaders and everyone, honestly, with keeping a gauge on how we're doing, right? How are we doing emotionally? How's our mindset? How's it going? Because we need that. But, you know, I think that as leaders, especially, we've got to commit to having regular practices of checking in with self. How am I feeling? How am I showing up for other people? What are the ways that I have regular check-ins with other people to ask them, hey, how's it going for you in reporting to me, right? And so I think we can both self-reflect and also proactively ask the Kevins what they're seeing, right? And how it's going.
Yeah.
And you know, being willing to look at it, because that's the hard part, right? Are we willing to see what's in there? Because the more we're willing to see, the more we're willing to be honest, the more opportunities we have to make it better.
Exactly. Because as soon as we go, well, I don't want to see that, or I'll justify it or rationalize it, or, well, I have a right to be stressed here. As soon as we do all that, of course, we're missing the growth opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Molly, as you're talking, one of the things that's occurring to me, you know, again, we're focused on human-centered leaders, leadership. Everybody listening comes from that mindset. And one of the things that occurs to me as you're talking is, so often, this happens to leaders all the time, right? We will always check in. I'm going to say for the most part, I'm going to say 90, 95% of our listening audience, they're having a one-on-one with one of their direct reports, and they're going to ask, how are you doing? How's it going? And they'll do that emotional check-in. We wouldn't think not to do it with our direct reports, with the people we care about, but do we do it with ourselves?
That's right. That's right.
And that's what you're getting at. And it's like, if we're going to be human-centered leaders, the first human we have to lead is ourselves.
It's absolutely true. That's where it all begins. And I think also the more we can understand our own emotional world. I keep talking about our emotional world, but it's something that I don't think most of us learn how to connect with. I certainly didn't learn to connect with it. We learn to fix our emotions, to dismiss our emotions. And actually, our emotions play a big role in good leadership.
Absolutely.
People who make good decisions are influenced not just by their logical brain, but by emotions as well in a healthy way. So anyway, having said all of that, absolutely. The more we can check in with ourselves, be our own leader, right? Be our own guide, and check in with how we're feeling. It allows us to have more of a window into our own emotions, and therefore it helps us to better understand when we're trying to help other people that are also having emotions.
Absolutely. I mean, we're leading human beings. We can't, they're three-dimensional with all these elements. If we're
That's
not,
right.
How are we possibly going to lead them? Molly, I have some more, at least one more question for you before we run out of time, but I want to make sure for listeners who want to connect with you, learn more about your work and what you're doing, like, where should we go?
You can find me at mollyclaire.com. Pretty easy, just straightforward, mollyclaire.com. You can definitely, I recommend listening to Life Mastered, the podcast. The podcast is really about life mastery, not in the sense that we're checking achievement boxes, but really, how do we lean into and face the challenges of life, right? How are we navigating conflict and relationships, and how are we really creating a life where we feel alive and we're utilizing our gifts? So Life Mastered is the podcast. And I also have a free training at mollyclaire.com for leaders specifically, teaching the fundamentals of lasting change. So
excellent, which is the only kind of change we need. It needs to be lasting.
That's
what
right.
We always say at Let's Grow Leaders too. If we're going to do any kind of work with an organization and any training, any culture development, it's got to be lasting. That's what we're after. So, you know, you were talking a little bit about the incorporation of emotion and really integrating all these different aspects of ourselves, which, you know, is leading me to a question about vulnerability and this intersection of resilience and vulnerability and not coming off detached and so on. And so as you're thinking about how leaders show up with their humanity, in alignment and integrity with their personality, and everybody's got a different one of those.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help leaders navigate this authenticity, vulnerability, these kinds of things with regard to resilience?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like a broken record, but truly the first thing is, are you taking care of your own emotional world? You know, there's a small business that I've worked with for a while, and you know, time and again, it is the struggles come up with leading their team. The struggles come up with frustrations, right, with the people who aren't showing up, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the complaint of the day is, and really, before we can even begin to bring this vulnerability or this human connection piece as leaders, you've got to first really clean up your side of the street with your own emotions. Because if you and I were here having a conversation, and if I can be attuned to my own emotions, if I can be regulated, if I can be grounded and clear and understand myself, then I'm going to actually be able to be in connection with you, right? And articulate with vulnerability what I may be feeling or what frustrations there are. So there's that connecting and expressing without having unresolved emotions just kind of spewing out at the other person.
It's that I'm not doing therapy on somebody else, but I'm being authentic and real because I've done that work for myself, that I can present that in a coherent, I don't know what the right word is, a useful way.
Yeah, effective, right? Where it can be, because I think that when we have something to express and we want to solve something, it can be easy to have some heightened emotions around that, and then that emotional activation can come through in the conversation. And if we want to express things and we want to be vulnerable and have that human connection, we've got to first really understand what is going on for me emotionally and how can I really resolve anything here first that needs to be resolved, and then go in connection, in communication.
All right.
It's always you first. It's always the answer.
Always you first. Well, along those lines, I was working with a group of about 20 CEOs a couple days ago. in a particular industry and going through a lot of turmoil, it can start to create imbalances in the workplace. It can create tensions and favoritism and unhealthy relationships as well. And so the really robust conversation about how to navigate that, about the right, and this, you know, plays off of what you were just saying about where it's useful and effective.
Yep.
And where are we relying on those things? I'm curious your perspective on that. And I understand it's a deep question, but in the time that we have, like how do you see that?
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if you would agree with this perspective, but this is immediately what came to my mind in terms of an analogy. It's kind of like, you know, I'm a single mom, and as a single mom, I am the leader of my household, the leader of my kids. Of course, like two of my kids are grown now, right? But I always felt it was important for me to create a culture of we pitch in, we help out, we support each other. We're like carrying this as a team. And that doesn't mean that I am relying on my children to be my emotional support. And I think personally, I think it's very similar because as a leader, it's important for a leader to get the support that they need and to figure out how do I fill my bucket, because I don't want to be draining from those that I'm supposed to be leading. I can ask them to, you know, come and play ball, like come to the team, let's bring the support, that's healthy. But as leaders, we've got to figure out our own support for ourselves. It does matter, but we can't be relying on those who we are leading to give that to us.
Well said, well said. A great analogy as well, absolutely. And so it's that in order to enable people to pitch in and be a part of the solution, do that, we also have to be real about some of the circumstances that our team is facing or a problem to solve or so. We don't want to hold all that in.
Yes.
But the emotional support that you're talking about, that's where we need to draw that in other places. And that's part of the leadership work that we do.
Yes, yes. Because, I mean, the thing is, we're all human. And I think what is not healthy or helpful is if we think, well, I'm the leader, so I have to be here for everyone. And, you know, I can't really have the support or the needs don't matter. No, that's never going to work, right? That's when we disconnect from ourselves emotionally. That's not going to build resiliency. So 100%, we need to attune to what are my needs in this and how do I ensure that I have what I need so I can show up for the team?
Well, and you have given us all a lot that we needed for our conversation today. And that is a great place for us, I think, to call it for today. Our guest today has been Molly Clare, founder of the Masterful Coach Collective and host of Life Mastered, the podcast. Molly, thanks so much for being a guest today.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Really appreciate your insights and wisdom. And listeners, listen, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of these practical communication skills to help you accelerate your team's performance, reduce your stress, and build a career with the respect and influence you deserve. Thanks, as always, to our producer and sound engineer, Brooke Bradford, over at Sheep in Space Digital Business Services, and Laura at Bruck Marketing for the work on this episode. Until next time, maybe go for a walk. Maybe get enough sleep. Maybe learn how to tap. Not tap dance, although that's good too. And be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS Store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.